Hello, and welcome to a special episode of the Master of One podcast. This is a bit different this week. It's the reason you're hearing my disembodied voice and no intro music. We're actually doing a replay of one of our favorite episodes, and that's our episode. It's from 18.2 with Aaron Draplin. This episode aired all the way back on April 29th of 2016. So it's been a minute since we had this conversation, but I do want to share three things with you about this episode. Number one, this is our most listened to episode of all time. Round of applause, Aaron. Number two, this episode was a pain to edit. There was an issue in the record with one of the mics, and it meant that this episode required hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of edits to cut out noise and clean up channels and all that kind of stuff. But we just didn't want to retape the conversation. We had such a good conversation, such a natural conversation with Aaron, and a long conversation. And so we really wanted to keep the audio as it was. So we put in the extra work to make sure that it got released. And the third thing, you actually can't listen to this episode anywhere else. So we had about 60 episodes from back in our archive that we had to pull down because of the outro music that we were using. These episodes haven't been available for several months now, and Aaron's episode was one of those. And so we've re-edited it so we can upload it, and now we are re-sharing that with you. We really hope you enjoy the replay, and we'll be back next week for our normal content. But without further ado, into the episode.
Okay, internet peoples, this is Frank Kozik, also known as the guy that makes lots of junk for everybody in the world, and you're listening to Master of One Podcast.
Welcome to this sandbox episode of the Master of One Podcast, part two for this week. This week, we finish up our Creative South Artist series in a big way with our new friend, Aaron James Draplin. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
So settle in and get ready for these animals to prowl. For this sandbox episode, we wrap up our Creative South Artist Series month, where we've been talking with people from Creative South, with a guy who needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway because that's part of the format of the show. This is a guy who is like the Lord of Logos. He is the guy with the who is thick lines, right? That's his thing. We've talked about him for the last several weeks. He was the keynote speaker at this year's Creative South. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the formidable Aaron Draplin.
All right.
Thanks, you guys. Cool.
Wow. Okay, so Aaron, we are just going to kick things off the way we kick off every episode with an interview by asking, what's your Wikipedia page? Tell people out there who might not know who you are, where you're from, what you do, those kinds of things, and then we'll jump into the real meaty stuff.
Yeah, you know, wow. You know, I just actually got a Wikipedia page. I just got one.
Nice.
Oh.
When I was in San Francisco, the group was there, and the guy totally did the, like, you want a page? And I was like, what are you talking about? You want a Wikipedia page? And I was like, what are you talking? He goes, we work with them. And I said, he took my photo, and it's all sweaty. And you can go kind of see it. But, well, my name is Aaron James Draplin, 42 years old, actively. I am a graphic designer and a maker and a thinker and a dreamer and a worrier and whatever else out here in Portland, Oregon. Heathen-filled Portland, Oregon. I am from Michigan. I grew up there. I moved west when I was a kid to Oregon when I was 19 to be a snowboarder. Did that for 5 winters, and I went to Alaska for 4 summers to make money for, you know, computers and college. I went to school in Minneapolis, art school, 98 to 2000. I got my first job in 2000 in Southern California, did 2 years down there. Got up here in 2002 in Oregon, worked for Cinco Design Office for 2 years, my first studio job. Jumped out on my own in 2004, and ever since, I have been, you know, let's just say ferociously independent, but okay. 1 foot in the, take every job that comes your way. Some of those jobs exploded into, you know, multi-year magazines, multi-year retainer gigs with Cole Headwear, Union Binding Company, Grenade Gloves, snowboarding stuff.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the aughts, I just sort of jumped out of it. The last 4 to 5 years now, I've been, really excruciatingly on my own. And Field Notes is a little book, little memo books I make with Jim Kudal, and that's, you know, that's a Monday of my week, and shipping merch is a Tuesday with my girl Lee. So Wednesday is on the road talking to people, you guys, or yeah. The last couple days was Baton Rouge and Nashville and New York City. That was the last 7 days. And then, Thursday, I guess, is like, getting paychecks and
envelope. Oh, good day.
Stuff, you know, and. And then Friday, I don't know. So, I'll quit talking, but that's kind of what I do. Because listen, you guys, you're going to have to curb me, man, because.
Yeah, well, no, it's okay.
I hold records for the longest time. Yeah.
Dude, we'll rein it in when we feel like the content you're bringing is no longer good. So, you said something that I think is interesting, and I want to hone in on that for a second. You just said that you are excruciatingly on your own. What does that mean? What does that mean to be excruciatingly on your own?
Well, I mean, the idea is, I think that you guys, I've been really lucky to do a lot of podcasts. I've been really lucky to talk to a lot of schools. And there's a game of perception, and the idea that, if I can polish myself up for that one night, and I don't, but there's still. You guys met me over dinner.
Yeah.
We sat and talked, and I hope you liked me. I liked you guys, whatever.
Yeah, man.
But
it's like, yeah, man.
I just read comments, man, and people will say things, and it's like when I went independent, that did not mean that it was just paychecks lined up. I had to fight for that stuff, and I had to work a ton.
Yeah.
So I get real prickly when I hear people say, well, he's just this, or he's just that. Because listen, I'm a human being. I read all this crap, and
yeah,
it's like I am super proud of the years when we, I walked through and helped invent, little brands. People don't really know about that now because we're in such a time where, you're only as good as your last couple dribbles or something, and it's like whoa. There are years of my stupid life where I. It wasn't cool, but what was cool was I was working with my buddies and I was making money, that's what was cool, but it wasn't really on the radar of people making judgments. Oh, he's this, he's that, he's this. So, this is a weird thing for me, you guys. If none of it happened, how would I talk about something myself? Would I, my last 14 years of existence, I'd say, man, I took every job. Not in the last 4 years, I've kind of slowed down. But for that first 10 of that 14, I took every job. And there's years, I'll open up folders, and there will be 50 logo folders. And that's just logos.
Yeah. So what do you...
Show that stuff? Or who even cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I... So you said... you're talking about the judgment, and I'm wondering if that's primarily about your style. I mean, I have someone that I work closely with who I was talking... Well, I was talking about you to them, and their knee-jerk reaction was, I like his stuff, but he just does the same thing over and over.
That's too... So, like, that's just that... I mean, it's weird because it's like, I get it. It's what's that turd seeing? I don't know. Likes and clicks and things obviously drive stuff.
Yeah.
But I wish that person would see years of making snowboard magazines with... I would... Even I'm a little biased, but beautiful grids and
right
and functional, simple, well-read typography. That's buried away. You know who got to see that? Legions of scrubby snowboarders who, for the most part, went over the head. But the once a year would say, "Man, we can really read your stuff. Like I enjoy reading it and finding details." How would those guys ever know that?
Yeah.
To me, the mark of the people who I am really, really, really enamored by are the people that can lay out a catalog, who can lay out a calendar, who can lay out a license plate, who can lay out a backstage pass, who can lay out the things that sometimes aren't all that cool, right? And I've done that stuff for years, man. And I would, you know, I'd push that it's, you know, hopefully it was beautiful and well designed. Yeah. But see, this is the phenomena of this stuff. Your friend who you're talking to, he's not looking hard enough. And it's probably on my part, too, that I don't really, how would I ever show a decade of that stuff? I don't need to, you know?
Yeah.
But then I'm reading stuff where people are like, you know, that's all he does. That's too bad, because they just wouldn't really see when I work for no money or when I work with stuff like I'm building wedding invites right now for my girl's little sister.
Yeah.
And there's flowers and like painful handwriting, but that's called being a graphic designer.
Yeah.
Every job is going to be about thick lines. You know, sometimes the jobs are soft. Sometimes the jobs are with girls. Would you guys even, one of you was married. The rest of you wouldn't even know what a girl is. So sometimes when a girl's sitting across the table and she's hiring you for your services, I can't, you know, man mountain her and say, by the way, it's going to look like the stuff that your dumb friend only sees because he's, you know, looking at some, I don't know, whatever, you know.
I want to, if you haven't already done this, I'd like to be a part of trademarking the phrase man mountaining, because honestly, that might be my favorite thing. So I think it's important to recognize you've done however many. Do you know the actual number? Because you just did the book that we'll talk about a little bit later, and we've actually featured it on the show a couple times. But how many numbers? What's the number of logos you've created roughly? As DDC, as Draplin Design Company.
I don't know, it's got to be 400 or 500. I don't know.
Okay,
I've never really. I mean, I have a poster with a lot of stuff on it.
Yeah, you do.
All that, and it's like what I'm so proud of is the stuff that I chose to show on there.
Yeah,
it's like, those are things I got away with. If that's a style, and it totally is. You know, the things that were rough, who wants to show that stuff? But see, then when you hear a kid go, I don't want to have to show that stuff, where were they in the in the 2 a.m. hour? I was making stuff, because what happens now, I have manifested a weird little life where I get hired to make the stuff your buddy's talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It works, right?
People say, how do I get to do the work you get to do? And I said, well, I didn't drink, you know, myself into oblivion. I didn't need to go and, have some stupid, I don't know what stupid people do, fantasy football and, like, Game of Thrones and shit. I don't care about any of that.
That sounds right.
So. Okay, I know. Well, the idea that, like, you know, you guys, I worked a lot for a lot of years. And I, you know, I'll just say I cut my teeth on this stuff.
Yeah.
No one, I mean, in the book you'll see some of that, because I was really proud to show like a spread of spreads, you know, like grids, like a grid, you know, the grid, you know, like I can take a piece of type and an interview and pack it into something, and you know, hopefully it's like publication design or something, you know, the idea that, like, you know, I don't know, you know, it's just weird. You manifest this life and you say, I really want to make these sorts of things, so I'm just going to make them for myself, and then someone hires you for it. That is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then when someone who is so myopic, you know, only says, oh, that's all he does, I get it, man. I get it. You know, because here's the deal. Like, just a couple weeks ago, I was in Corpus Christi, maybe before I saw you guys.
Yep.
And I was there, and I got to meet Dana... And I'm going to say her name wrong, but Tamagotchi, I think, is a beautiful chalkboard art stuff from a couple years ago. And I just said to her, I said, you know, thank you. You do such beautiful, beautiful work. And I've seen people try to ape it, and they just can't pull it off. And in my talk, I talk about you, and I say, let Dana T, you know, be her.
Yeah.
Don't, if you're going to, you know, you're not going to out Jessica Hish. You're not going to do it, man. So just understand that, you know, they hit on something, at least those two gals. So beautiful, so special, so enjoyable. You know, in my talk, I really reference that and say, but you know what's interesting? It's like when you see them build a website or build whatever else they're building right now, it's really well crafted. It's not just the one thing you know about. That's the mark of someone that I look up to. I look up to, even though I'm 15 years older than probably Jessica or whatever, but I just think her work is beautiful, and also it messes with the playing field that some young lady could look at this and say it's a dude's game.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of Yodas.
Oh, she's killer.
Garbage. And it's a bunch of, you know, it's a bunch of starships and whatever I was making fun of at that, you know, whatever. Oh, it can be soft. It can be feminine. It can be beautiful. It can be tight. I mean, whatever, you know, because the idea is, you know, I collect those things of like on my wall of like people that really moved me. And, you know, somewhere along the line, I hope I can do that to some kid, too. But, you know, it's just weird to be put on the defensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these years I've been sharing this stuff and I've been really excited to meet you guys or the 100 other things I got to talk to.
Yeah.
And then one comment. I've just never really fought back.
Yeah.
I've just never really fought back because, you know, people say, they're just the J word, man. They're just jealous. And it's like, well, probably. Or they could just kind of get to work like the rest of us had to do and they got busy making instead of busy being bummed, you know?
Yep.
Or making their own life, you know? So anyway, next question.
No, yeah. So you strike me as a bit of like the dying art kind of guy. Like so in your talk, you talked about some of the, like, I guess, typesetting. And so let me real quick say, I'm not a graphic designer, so I'm going to say terminology that's completely wrong. But I think you talked about one of your Skillshare classes, like laying out like a record or something like that. So is that something that you gravitate towards? Is that something that's just natural to you? Or I guess, are you looking for those things that aren't as exploited nowadays?
Yes, I like things that are functional. You know, the reason I make the logos I try to make is because the stuff that I love so much worked in 1960, and it works now. But there's a big old F word. Okay, you guys ready? Here comes that big F word. You ready?
We're ready.
It's called fashion.
Yeah.
And I'm just not going to be easily led by antlers, by
good example.
Arrows.
I'm not going to be led by, you know, Yodas, and, you know, I'm not going to be led by, I love all that stuff. But those are tricks. They're tricks. And I know that it's really easy. Right now someone's going, how dare he say that? Futura Bold on some stupid little campfire cup. Well, right. But they have to understand the sort of provenance of that, we'll just say. And I'm sorry to sound academic, but the idea is things used to be undesigned. They were not ironic. They were not a style. It's just because something worked.
Yeah.
So the idea that I would ape that in some weird way, that's an idea that it's like, I don't want to have to let it. I don't need to be Futura 5000 Techno Force Super Future. I don't need to.
Yeah. Especially when you're man mountaining.
Some dumb pencil just needs to have a nice piece of type.
Yeah.
You know? Or some goofy little thing like Get Cosmic. I just want, yeah, man. You know, see, we could talk about that all night long, but see,
yeah.
Is that a ploy? Is that a trick? Is that a shtick? Is that a one-trick pony? Because I would kind of argue, I hope I'm about a 17-trick pony, but that's stupid.
Man. Yeah.
It's the one line that affects me as a human.
Yeah.
And I'll just kind of go, whoo, man, they don't see when I sign PDFs for people who don't know how to sign a PDF.
Yeah. So let me take that, because I think this is an opportunity for you to, I don't want to say set the record straight or whatever, because it's not, we're not trying to be combative, and you're not trying to be combative, but you do want to speak passionately about the things that you are, and that is always going to be triggered by people speaking loudly about the things that you aren't. And so I want to know, you said something very thought-provoking, very interesting to us at the table when we had dinner with you the first night, and then you also brought it up in your talk about this concept of the troll. So tell our audience what a troll is, your definition of a troll, and then let's just dialogue about that for a couple minutes.
Well, I mean, am I old-fashioned to think that When I learned about the web and people said, hey, here's a thing called Twitter, and it's this beautiful concept of like these blasts and bursts and things. Well, was I old fashioned for, I didn't jump right into it. You know, when the iPhone came out, fellas, I waited about 6 months because it was beautiful. When the iPod came out, I waited a couple months. I just didn't understand what it did. Until you understand that everything goes inside this little thing, you know,
yeah.
Then you understand the beauty of right. a million songs in this little thing. Okay. Then I got it, but I just take to it a little slower because I was so busy being busy.
Sure.
Okay, Twitter comes out. I watch, and I watch, you know, broken words, acronyms, inside jokes, some dude talking to a dude, and there's no thread or sort of lineage or whatever. And I stood back, and I said, okay, when I go use this thing, and it's going to be dumb, and it's going to be me talking about records or making fun of large man in a small seat and all that stuff, I am going to do it with proper grammar, or at least try.
Yeah.
Unless I'm in a pinch. I'm going to use 140 characters every time. You know, you can go look.
Yeah.
To the best I can. I'm going to have tributes to people who died. I'm going to talk up my buddy's bands. I don't need to have ha, LOL, or whatever, dude. And then the concept of this is me trying to say, if I'm going to go put my force into the world with these things and expect that someone's going to sort of read it, scroll past it, maybe enjoy it, I hope, that I did it with some craft, and I did it with some thought, and I did it with my name signed to it. You know, you're not going to find me anywhere going on your website, and saying, I don't like your stuff, you suck, signed, Yoda Fart 2000. So the thing is like, I pride myself when I see a comment that's rough, that I'll react to it. I don't go after the negative stuff. But when I see something that needs a little help, I'll jump in there and say, my name is Aaron Drappel, and I'm a graphic designer, and this guy, he's a stand-up guy, does good work, she does great work, how dare you talk, whatever, you know.
Right.
And I'll sign my name. So there's just this weird thing, but it just shows you the character of people. You know, it's this weird thing where people get to hide, and I don't, you know, if it's just the big old J word of jealousy, fine. But it's just a weird thing because, am I old fashioned to think that your name and your word is about as good? You know, if you can't, you know, if I can't say, you can go right now and do a search and everything I tried to contribute to the world in my life and digital this or that, I did it with my heart and I did it with craft and I
did it with
thought. You know, I did. I can just tell you that, you know?
Yeah.
When I see people tear someone down, it's not just me, whatever. I'm talking all sorts of things. You just see, it just makes you cynical.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a guy used to make a sign, or a gal used to do some beautiful calligraphy and she signed her name in the little corner, you enjoyed it, and that was where it kind of stopped. You know, what are you going to go tell her you don't like it? You know?
Right.
How people get to be nasty. You know, it's not anything new. It's not anything new. But it's like decorum. And I know, you guys, I know I got a mouth. But hopefully when we sat and had dinner, you didn't, when I got up to go get my seconds, you weren't like, I hope he dies between here and the buffet table. Yeah, I was a gentleman to your, you know, the guy's wife.
I didn't think that. So
yeah, I can't speak for Luke. I totally enjoyed our time.
I was just hoping you were getting me seconds, too.
Yeah, we just hope that you were getting more of those chocolate mousse shots for us.
It's just a weird thing because I watch people go defend their stuff, and it's like, you can't say anything, man. If that kid wants to be nasty, let him be nasty. Let him be nasty. What are you going to say? And then I just kind of stop myself, or I see a kid rip me off, you know, and it's like, oh, man, you are one click away from career suicide, man. Not for me.
Yeah.
They're turkeys who don't have this restraint.
Yeah.
Or they're not busy, and they have got time to go and, you know, murder someone. Those comments are littered all over the place. It's just a weird thing. And if someone was to tell me, oh, no, you don't understand, the culture of this stuff is that there's an exchange of ugly. Well, I'm going to tell you, no, it's not. You know, no, it's not going to be that way for me. You know, I will try to use proper grammar. I will try to utilize the privileges I was given as a youngster in stupid little Michigan to learn how to spell.
Yeah.
So it's just a weird thing. As I get older, fellas, I mean, how old are you guys? I'm 42. How old are you guys?
I'm 33.
20, about to be 29.
I'm 31.
So that's, you know, okay. When I was your age, I was buying my first home, and and here in Portland, and I was getting on my own 2 feet, you know, this kind of thing, or maybe a couple years into it. And these are neat things to share, you know, that I'm older than you guys. I got a decade on you, whatever you call it. So should I know a couple more things? Maybe. But if I go into your lives and all the cool I see up behind, you know, Ninja Turtles and stuff, I wouldn't. I mean, my brother-in-law, who's 32, you know, he is 16-bit Nintendo guy and loves it, you know?
Yeah.
He does all this cool, it's called the Wooden Arcade. My almost brother-in-law, Jacob. So you guys need to go look at the Wooden Arcade.
I've seen that.
Okay, that's my brother-in-law.
That's nice. Awesome.
He works hard, and he's a good dad to my, you know, and a good, you know, better half to my little sister. And he works hard, and he's just a great guy. But, you know, he keeps it real positive. And then, you know, he sees, you know, my name go flying, and I always talk about him because, you know, he's doing some really cool stuff. That's what he celebrates. You know, he knows. I mean, you guys, he's in a different time zone, you know. He wore Jinko jeans. Oh, man. Whoa.
I've done that.
Of course you did. I'm not going to claim that. That's rough. Ooh, that stuff is the worst. But you know, he celebrates what he knows and what even the goofy stuff. I mean, if we were... My dad used to say to me, have all my buddies over? You know, this was like 5 years ago. All my buddies over, they have babies, and he'd say, hey, Aaron, should I get your breakdancing mat out? And you can show them a couple moves from 1982. You know, and I'd just, dad, stop. Because, you know, my dad remembers how stupid all I was. You know, whatever. You know, and I, you know, whatever. I was 11, and it was cool.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, Beat Street and Electric Boogaloo or whatever the hell it was. So we all have our embarrassments in our lives. It's just an interesting thing where, like, you fellas, I mean, this is where it boils down to. I'm just not used to this.
Yeah.
Try to keep it positive. Every kid who came up to me at Mondo last year, I'm just picking this off the top of my head because I was out of my element.
Yeah.
I could talk to them and be nice and be, you know, like, ask them about, why do you like monster stuff? I don't even really know, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, years ago when I met these kids from Kid Robot. You know, and understand why you like these little things. I mean, maybe you're into some of that stuff. I don't know. But, you know, I like little pad prints. That applies in my life on snowboard bindings, you know? That applies in my life on some of the gear we made, you know? So the idea that someone could, you know, build these articulate little toys or something, it's not for me, but I can see the beauty or the nerdery, the beauty and the nerdery, you know, and stuff. And it's like, I'm not going to go make fun of some guy who... Why make fun of Kid Rock? But that's different.
But see, that's where I was probably most impressed by you because, you know, I honestly didn't know a lot about your work before a few weeks ago because, again, I'm just not in that world.
Yeah.
And you have a very big personality, and that can be a turnoff for people that don't because you can feel like you're talking over to somebody or can feel like it's clashing because I also think that I can have a big personality.
Yeah.
And so that made me be very nervous when I initially met you. But then hearing your talk, hearing you at the dinner table, hearing you now, I'm blown away by just how you're a normal, just level-headed guy.
Well, see, that's a game of perception. When I met you guys and you told me who you were, remember when I went, oh, you guys, hey, I'm sorry. Did I apologize? Because I know
you did.
You guys are, you know, you're waiting and you ask me and I say yes to a lot of these things. And, you know, I mess with you and say, how many people listen? 7,000 or 7,000?
Yeah.
Because it's the idea that, like, you guys, I've done them for the 7 people.
Yeah.
Talked is just as long as I needed to talk. Or, you know, you have to understand, I enjoy meeting people, too. Just like you guys enjoy putting someone of interest, you know. You guys got Frank Kozik. See, I don't think I'm a Frank Kozik. But here's the deal. Kids come up to me now in airports, and I'm Frank Kozik.
Dude.
But I will talk to them, or I'll give them some stuff out of my bag and say, do you want some field notes? Or, you know, go to the website and buy some stuff. You know, whatever. You know, because, you know, in my experience as a kid, it's the one time you meet someone you dig, and they bigly you. They big you, and then, you know, you're in the little leagues, and I'm in the big leagues, and I'm gonna let you know it.
Yeah,
I remember that stuff.
Yeah, man.
I've never done that, so I'm always a little bit. I'm sort of indulging and being defensive a little bit.
Here's what I think. What's really important to hear, it's for me. I can see through all of the fog of how people could perceive you one particular way or whatever, because I've now had an opportunity to interact with you multiple times, and you know, I don't know, just without sounding like gushy or whatever, I just see how genuine you are. I see you're just a guy I would love to hang out with, not because you do fantastic work, although you do fantastic work.
Well, thank you.
It's because you're a cool dude, and I could see how people could perceive, like Patrick was saying, especially when you start talking about the troll, especially when you start talking about people who... you know, you told a couple of stories during your talk about people who were just being crappy, and a specific rocker that we won't name right now that was kind of just, you know, they were just, you know, being a diva, and it could come across as you being like an angry guy. You are the opposite, in my opinion, of an angry guy, but you are a guy who wants to see justice, not for yourself necessarily, although that would be nice. But what struck me when we were having dinner the first night, I think within 5 to 10 minutes, you were adamantly defending some of your friends, work, and some of who you saw was being ripped off by somebody else. And yeah, it wasn't about you. It wasn't about making some big grand statement or some big platform. It was about you wanting to see justice done in the creative industry that you have so passionately contributed to. That's a community that you want to see held up and done well, and I think that is so I think that's just so commendable, and it's what makes people so endeared to you, I think.
All right, the podcast is over. Hey, let me just say, man, thank you, man, because listen, I am slathered in beautiful accolades now, and if you guys saw how many kids write me a day and say, I really like what you do. Man, my head, you know, it's hard to keep, you know, it's hard to keep grounded. But I write those kids back and say, man, I'm not hiring, I'm not bringing on interns, but I write them back, you know. If a kid just says, hey, how much are your logos? I don't write that guy back, you know. He didn't even say my name, you know. It's like, what is it, like a price sheet? But yeah, one by one is this much, and five by five is this, you know, whatever. You know, it's like a pizza or something. And it's like, you know, I appreciate that, because you guys, you know, meeting you guys, you have to understand, I'm just as nervous to meet new people as anyone would be.
Sure.
Yet, I come into those situations loaded with people thinking that I am going to call them out when I didn't do that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Or the idea that they heard their buddy who didn't like my stuff say I was a big, you know, behemoth or whatever.
Right.
And he's brash. And then I'm having to defend that and saying, actually, I wasn't. I was soft about, you know what? It's a weird thing. So you come into something, I want to make all three of you guys comfortable at that dinner table.
Yeah.
Because I want you to enjoy your life and meeting people. Not me. Meeting Clark. Meeting the kid I sat across from the table. You know, your buddy there. Hey, man, you know, well, it's not about the compliments and the thank you. It's about your character, you know?
Yeah.
And here's
the
deal. Yeah. If, you know, that gal, what was her name? Britt? You know, that Britt gal? Whew, her work was incredible. She works for the Falcons. And we sat and talked about her work all night. And I just was like, I just kept telling her, you keep doing this. You're going to kill it. You already are. But you're going to inspire so many people in your community. And you're going to inspire so many people in your family. And you're inspiring me sitting next to you, you know. And if we had to go war to war, you know, nose to nose, oh, I would
you would man mountain the crap out of her.
Here's the thing. It's like, instead of like instantly, like when someone sits down at that table, it's a real interesting little like sociological thing. You know, when Clark sat down at the table at the other end, you know, I love Clark because Clark Orr does beautiful creatures, humor. He's nice. He's dry as a popcorn fart. Look that one up. You know what he kept saying to me? Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Yeah. You know, it's past my curfew. Or, hey, Dad, have you been drinking too much? Or whatever. We were, like, you know, having jokes. But you know what? Before I knew him, I knew his work.
Yeah.
I didn't read into it that he is either nice or whatever. I just knew that he was making his own stuff. And that to me was really cool, because it's hard to make your own way, especially, you know, when you're up against, you know, the kid I met for the first official time. I get to meet a lot of guys, but his name was Nick Slater. And I see people connect me to him saying, it's getting real close to draft. And it's like, stop. the penguin he made, or the, what was it? What do you call it? You know, what's the thing? It's some bird he made. I don't know how to make that bird, and I collected that bird that Slater guy made and put it in my inspiration and said, the moves he made, pelican. The pelican he made, the moves he made in that pelican, those were beautiful moves, man. And I learned something there. You don't have to have a thick line. You can do it with a little notch, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what, you know, how do I show the times in my life where I had to make a pelican like that? I can't. You know, I show the stuff I want to manifest. I want to make, you know, this kind of dumb stuff because it's not out there. There's antlers. There's Yodas. There's Daft Punks and stuff, you know. There's things that look like people are from 1895. It's 2016, you animals. You know what I'm talking about.
So we're gonna circle into the final question time because we want to be aware of your time and we want to keep this manageable for people. So, Patrick, do you have something that you want to kick us out into this?
Yeah, so let's imagine that you're Aaron Draplin, so this should be easy, and you're sitting in your log cabin in like the, you know, wherever, and there's like pine and oak and whatever you have around you.
On a man mountain.
Yeah, and you have your acoustic guitar. What song are you strumming?
Ooh, probably some Sunvolt.
Sunvolt?
Yeah, you guys know Sunvolt?
I've never heard of them. No. This is new for me.
Sunvolt came from the ashes of Uncle Tupelo.
Okay.
And from St. Louis. A cowpunk. We'll call it the alternative. We'll call it rock and roll with a smidge of slide guitars and just a countryfied. Like they grew up on Towns Van Zandt and Woody Guthrie as much as they grew up on, let's say, Iggy Pop and Lou Reed or the Sex Pistols or something, right? So, you know, to play those songs, you know, and learn those songs, they're beautiful to me. There's a record called Sunvolt Trace, and it's one of my top five of all time. And it's what's so beautiful about it to me is when Jay Farrar wrote it, he was 26 and 27 years old, and it's mature. It's so mature. It's real heavy material. But it's so mature. I mean, what were you guys doing at 26 and 27? I'll tell you what I was doing. I was getting out of college. I was seeing those bands. I was enjoying, you know, those records that were coming out at that time. But he had 6 or 7 years above me, right?
Yeah.
So when I got to Trace, I was 21 or 22, you know, and he would have been just 27. But the breath and the sort of like beauty and sparseness and things that he put into this record, it was a lesson of how hard I was going to have to work to make something for myself. I had to find my own corner, you know. So the idea of, you know, you asking me that, it's like my mind just goes to these things that were, you know, I want to tell you, I don't know, some Led Zeppelin song that's all, you know, really intense or something, or, you know, or some like, you know, something that's like got a lot of, like it's got too many notes per measure, you know, because it's real wild and stuff,
yeah,
fun to learn that stuff.
Sure.
No, there's also something really beautiful about like Bonnie Prince Billy or Low or, you know, some of the bands I grew up in that were really slow, Idaho, Red House Painters, that were beautiful and textural. And yesterday I was in Nashville and I got to go meet one of my heroes, a band called Lamb Chop that you guys should look up. Who are just beautiful, and I don't know how to say it other than like gently galloping. Like they're just, there's a laziness, there's a beauty to it. There's, he's just not gonna put, you know, there's a growl. But anyway, Lamb Chop is this multi tiered band out of Nashville. At times there'll be 14 people in the band.
Nice. Holy cow.
And they're just, it's just beautiful. And I went and met the guy, Kurt Wagner, and I tried not to gush. And I tried not to, because he doesn't give away everything. You know, I give away a lot in my life. You know, I like sharing it. There's a weirdness to it.
Right.
But the mystery with him was very, very deep. And then when you meet him and you see how sweet he is, whatever I would have thought that he's this tortured artist or he's this, you know, beat up soul or something, No, he's a guy that writes awesome songs, and he's sweet, and he's just cool, and it's just a weird thing, because it's like, that really, in that moment when I was walking away from his house, I hope people do that when they meet me, you know?
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
like, oh, yeah. we thought he was going to be a big beast, and he was going to talk about, about Guy Fieri or something, you know? Oh, he remembered my name.
Yeah.
He, because it turned out this Kurt knew about my work, you know, or whatever. My
stuff yeah.
for the hats I make. We talked about hats. We like bad hats together. We share affinity for bad hats. But it's that moment. Because here's the
deal. Yeah.
When I met guys from big old honking graphic design who weren't cool, I took notes and I remember. And I met guys who were, you know, gals too, who were super humble and super nice and super cool, and they packed a punch with their work or the way that they lived their lives or the way that they dressed or were expressed themselves. You know, I took notes. I just watched, you know, and it's like to go and have a good time around you guys or at that, you know, that Creative South, you know, really means a lot because it's not supposed to happen that way, you know.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to meet all those people and horse around with each other and, you know, mess around with Clark and mess around with Mike and get to know all these characters. You know, I don't know these guys. I see them once a year. But I could talk to Mike. I could tell him anything I needed to tell him. And he, you know, I know that he would bring a dad quality to things. Big Mike Jones.
Yeah.
Mike Jones, that slab of man meat. My God. My God. You know,
that's the only Mike I know. So, yeah.
We were all nervous, you know, because I heard that he was coming to this one where I went to in Baton Rouge, and I was thinking, if he's on the plane with me, that thing's going to be flying like. Just, you know, he, what's cool about Mike Jones is he does really good work, too. You go look at his shows and stuff. He does.
Oh, he doesn't play around. He's not a dreamer. Like, he's a doer.
He works. He sketches. He does stuff. And that's enough for me, you know. And I that's enough for me. I draft off of that stuff and freak out. But, yeah, to answer your, you see, I don't even know if it's in tune. I've been on the road.
I love it.
I don't think it's in tune, but I don't know. Do people even know that? I don't care if they know if I play guitar, but I don't.
Dude, this is killer. Draplin just serenaded me with an acoustic guitar, so that's.
I'd like to think he serenaded us with the acoustic guitar. Don't be so flattered, Patrick.
All right, so Aaron, my final question will be, so you have the book coming out, and I mean, graphic design is your world, but, you know, getting to talk to you and seeing you these last, you know, couple times, you are just a super genuine guy that just makes functional design. Like, your design just, it's a purpose. Every design has a purpose, and you just, it does what it's supposed to do. How do you see anything in your career changing after this book as far as, do you go towards speaking more? Or are you about encouraging younger artists or anything like that?
Well, I mean, I think about it hourly, you guys, because it's like there is a weird exclamation point to what's going on with this thing, you know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Guys have to understand that I did not get into this. Like, I was so proud to tell you guys that at Creative South. That's the first time I did that talk.
Wow.
Is it a talk? Is it a whatever? I didn't, you know, you guys, I was so busy in that merch room, I didn't even get to see anyone else talk.
You were busy.
You know, and it's like, I'm proud of that. You know, I talked, I talked to every kid, man. Where are you from? What do you do? I mean, I lost my voice, you know?
Yeah, you did. I remember that.
And that's because I stayed until the last kid went home. I'm proud of that. I mean, that's what I was hired to do for that couple days. And on top of that, I get to do it. So, okay, you know, this idea of, like, I don't know. I mean, how much more speaking can I do? Yesterday in Nashville was 223. My 223rd telling of this, you know, running of this race. I mean, the 220... Not 12, not 20, 223
yeah,
times
nuts.
I have gone across the world to share this garbage. So, you know, when people get, you know, I get prickly because it's like, well, I didn't, you know, next Wednesday, you guys, I'm going to New York City to do the big leagues, New York City AIGA.
Nice.
Nice.
But you know what?
Are you speaking at that? Is that what you're?
Yeah, like? I'm sorry. I have a show. It's going to be a book release, and there's like 500 tickets. They already sold 450 or something. But
nice.
But the weird thing is like, I'm so proud to go there and tell them, okay, it's taken me 5 years to get to New York City AIGA, but that, you know what? That's strategic on both sides. Because I went to Lancaster. Instead, I went to Lakeland, Florida. I went to Tulsa. I was told that you guys were the best, but I don't care about that. I went to Dubuque, Iowa. I went to Great Falls, Montana, you know. And those places don't get cool designers. I'm not going to even lump myself into that. Because I meet my colleagues who are like, why the hell are you going to Arkansas? And it's like, because I've never been to Arkansas.
Right?
You know, I went through it, but it's like that curiosity that I spoke in Alaska. I used to live up in Alaska. The reason I went and did that, because my turd buddies from the train I used to work on washing dishes for 120 hours a week to get my first computer.
Yeah.
That's truth. That's truth. You know, this turkey who's telling me I didn't cut, you know, I'm some one-trick pony. Did they wash dishes for 5.5 months, wanting to cry their eyes out every morning because you got to get up at 4:40 in the morning and ride your bike down, you know, to a terminal in the dark of Alaska, the haze of Alaskans, you know, whatever, midnight sun, get the computer? If I find out that their parents bought it for them, you know, it's kind of like I see where they're coming from real quick. You see how it stacks up real quick. But see, I've never pulled those cards because I don't need to do that, you know. But you know, to answer your question, man, it's like today on the plane, I haven't built a logo in a couple months because I've been doing the book and traveling and hanging out with you guys or whatever, you know, and I'm working on a logo right now for a big Hollywood gal. And she, I can't talk about it, but I'll just say this much. She is very renowned in the LGBTA community, and you will know her work. And I get to work on this stuff, and I get to contribute to stuff because, you know, I like things that involve human rights, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to preach, but I get to help her. And on the plane today, I had 3 hours for my second leg. I went from Nashville to Minneapolis, and I caught Minneapolis to Portland. I had 3.5 hours in that Portland leg. And I was on fire. And I got through probably 16, 18 things I have to show this woman. Right, and this presentation Friday morning, and while I was doing this African American guy next to me, he said, "Man, what do you do? What are you doing?" And I said, "Oh, I make logos, you know." And we got to talking, and you know, of course, he, you know, "Where are you from?" And he was about my age. I'm 42. He's 40. We got to talking, and you know, he was some kind of a defense contractor, so he's coming out here to do something scary or whatever his job is. And I'm, sure, you know, I'm making a logo, I'm cake decorating, whatever you want to call it, you know.
Yeah.
But what we got to talking about is he said, "Well, man, you know, you sound like you got a good story." And he goes, "My story, I'm gonna do this." He said, "But, you know, what are you gonna do with all this that you've done?" I said, "Well, I made a book," and you know, but one of the things that we talked about is he does a lot of I don't know, he's some kind of youth pastor.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to take the angle of God, or I'm not going to mess around with the matters of up or down or left or right or he or she or Jesus or Buddha or Allah. I'm just going to kind of say that the universe goes in every direction and we don't even know why. And that's real. So that's enough for me. You know, that the idea that we are lucky to be existing and loving and hating each other and everything else, and we could just soften up a little bit. That's all I need. But I do know that I like my nephew. He's 5. He's learning how to read.
Nice.
If I could go and give some of my time to some little rat kid and say, "You want me to help you make a logo, or you know, help you get some, you know, so you got clothes and stuff you need or whatever." I don't know. My dad was a big service guy. My dad He was a heathen at that. He had, you know, my dad quit smoking, drinking, talking bad about people from Pennsylvania. He did all this cold turkey. Quit stealing, lying, speeding, doing hard drugs. You know how he did it? Cold turkey, you know how he did it?
How?
Died. No, sorry. That's one of my dad's jokes. Sorry, sorry. But you guys are a little slow. I understand. That's the time change. But
I just didn't know if it was okay to, like, I didn't know what to do with that. That was the hardest thing, so I just slowly deviated my eyes down.
My dad didn't do hard drugs, but my dad was an animal. But my dad played Santa Claus for charities. And yeah, he would you know, get all the stuff on and go do corporate events around our little Traverse City, Michigan. And, you know, every December he'd make $5,000 or $7,000 or $8,000 or $6,000 or $4,000, who knows, and donate all of it to the Father Fred Foundation, which was a Catholic charity up in Northern Michigan. So, you know, our little brand of the ethereal, I guess, would be Catholic, whatever, you know. But he did that, and I used to say, you know, Dad, you know, you're slowing down. Keep the cash to pad it for you and Mom. And he'd just say, that's not why I do it. You know, my dad would go to hospice. You know, hospice. These people die, and my dad would be in there, you know, holding the hand of some lady and just, you know, cheering her up a little bit. I mean, they're in hospice.
Yeah, I'm like, I would be terrified to be in that situation.
I mean, he went and did that, and he'd come out, and he'd be shook up, and he'd be, you know, he'd be shook up, we would talk about these things, and he would just kind of say, hey, we're so lucky in our lives to be healthy, and we're so lucky in our lives to give and take a bunch and share, and you have to give back. So today, talking to this fella on the plane, we became buddies. I gave him field notes, and he was like, you know, because my one buddy in town here, my buddy Mike Whitehead, who does these incredible things called Finex skillets, little, you know, cast iron.
Yeah.
Mike does a lot of Big Brother stuff, and he really told me. I said, I think I'm kind of interested in helping out in some of this, you know. And he was like, man, you're on the road too much. You know, you're enjoying this cool arc. And when it starts to kind of crash, people are going to need help, you know, but you're going to have to be around. So to answer your question, you know, I don't know. You know, I got to make a book, man. When I go to New York City next week in the morning before the show, I'm going to the publisher. We're talking about the next book. So nice, the answer could be B, I might make another book, or I might just slow it down. How much money do you need to live? How much money do you need to, you know, I paid my house off years ago, you know. Paid my Volvo off, my appendix off. You know, I don't need, you know, this t-shirt smells like a dead flounder. You know, I don't need a bunch of, you know what I mean?
That appendix was as much as that Volvo, I bet.
You know, it was all shriveled up and gray. Anyway, but, you know, but it's this thing, you know, big picture. Well, I got to get smaller. I got to move more. Yeah. I got to, you know, I got to be with my, you know, my girl more. I got to be with my mom more. If I spend more time around the shop, I'll just keep making and scheming and giving and sharing and doing all the crap we do. And I just love it. Like today when the guy was like, I was watching you, sir. And I'm like, sir. He goes, man. He goes, I'm from South Carolina. That's how we talk. I said, okay. I said, well, he goes, you look like you really enjoy your job. You know, you get to make these logos. And I was cooking, you guys. I was cooking. It was so fun. And I just sit there. I'm so proud to make this thing, first of all, for this woman who's this big director, you know. And so, you know, but it's coming. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm just proud to help her. I'm proud to enjoy my life. And it's like, well, I want to keep making logos, but I kind of done it for a while. So, I mean, to shift gears, I think it's going to be slowing down a little bit. Maybe making some, you know, going and talking to some people to say, where can I donate some time or sit with some kids? I can tell you this much. I'm going to Chicago in June, and I met a fella at last year's Adobe Max.
Yeah.
Grew up on the south side of Chicago, and he works with kids on the south side of Chicago. And I'm going to go talk to his class. This is going to be one of the first times where I'll just kind of go. I mean, I've done a million workshops, you guys, but it's a bunch of healthy, lucky designers, you know, in some school somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
And these kids aren't, you know, and their buddies are getting shot over respect. And he was like, you need to come in there and be you and just pound on them and tell them you made it from nothing and you did it. And let me show you a couple tricks and tools and things. They need to hear this. You don't look like them, but they need this. You know, would you come? And I said, I'll do it. So I'm going to do that in June.
That's awesome. And
there's no, you know, I have to get down there. I have to, I'll be there for some entertaining stuff, you know, talking at a conference. But I am so excited because it's kind of, I'm terrified, man, because I'm afraid they're not going to like, you know, whatever, you know. Or I know,
dude,
but I'm going
to
go in there.
That's anything you have to worry about.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean? I don't want to go in there and be, you know, some kind of like, you know, listen, have you guys ever been to Pine Ridge, South Dakota?
No.
Moment you go on, this is a lesson that I learned when I went there. I got a buddy named Jason Alley. I've only hung out with him one time, but that dude impressed me so, so much because he gives a ton of his time to Native American kids in the form of art projects, in the form of, not in a donation. He arms them with creativity, okay?
Wow, yeah.
And when I went there for this afternoon with my buddy Hugh and this Jason Alley, and I just watched him, I was just so moved by it. Because you see, what happens is you go to these things and you become this weird, I don't know what you call it. You don't want to be a missionary showing up and say, do it this way. Sure. And that's the same thing going to some community where I'm not from. I don't want to be there to say, no, you need to change this. It's more like, here are a couple things that are really fun. Yeah, you can apply this to your life, everyone around, your buddies and stuff. You know, and that applies to Hayseed, Northern Michigan, as much as it's, you know, the rough city, South Side. So
absolutely,
I'm going to do more of this stuff. I don't know who it's through or what, but I'm going to be open to it, and I'm going to go. And I've already, you know, my dad, like I said, my dad was a service guy. You know, I donate cash today when, you know, I have to put the stamps on the envelopes here, but I send money to the Salvation Army, to a bunch of soup kitchens in town. You know, and this one, it's straight up, they are raging Christians. And if they knew what kind of life, the thoughts in my mind.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be letting them door.
This money is cursed.
But these guys in the teachings of whoever, they help people, man. I mean, yep.
Yes.
You know, whatever. And it's, I don't see,
that's what I took from your talk, because you tell a story about your snapbacks. And the where you get to this point where you went ahead with them, even in, like, in spite of or regardless of kind of like their feelings or their opinion. And I just love the fact that you're just like, this is going to sound very abstract and ethereal, but you're just a good human being. Like,
hope
you just,
so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just let, I mean, it's not necessarily the ones that are the good human beings. What about when you're sniffing someone and you're like, you're not? I mean, I don't think you really run into that, because we are, you know, we're thinking beings, you know, and stuff. And I don't know if I've, you know, it's been a long time, but every now and again you run into someone who, through circumstance, through bad decisions, through just a rough situation, who knows? You know, what no one ever sees is people who come into my shop and need advice.
Yeah.
And I let them. And I tell them, you know, don't tweet this. I don't want people to think that it's like something I'm like, you know, whatever. They don't see that. I sit with kids, man. My two partners don't, because they're busy. But I'll do it. I don't know why, but it's kind of like design service or something, you know?
Yeah. So, but like, you're removing the politics from it, and you're removing the, you know, it can be religion or whatever from it, and you're just trying to do right by other people.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I it's easy to get busy. It's easy to get, you guard yourself and say, well, I can't do this for every kid. I understand that, you know, I understand it very clearly, but it's the guys I meet who won't do it ever.
And it's,
man, really? You're making graphic design, or you're making toys, or you're talking about toys, or you do a podcast. Like, what are you talking about? Like, these aren't rough things. I mean, it like floors me, because every day I'm in here, man, I am thankful. You know,
sure. Man. So here's my final thing. I'm going to kind of forego asking a question, and I just want to make a couple of like quick statements at you, for you, about you. All right. So,
it's like
one, a theme that we heard. So we actually interviewed Clark for last week's episode. And so, you know, there's a thread, a very common thread between the two of you about hard work, and we don't have to go into, I mean, you've said it and more eloquently than I could. Hard work is key to making what you do matter. And then the other thing is you talk about wanting to do something that creates, that makes a difference, that helps people, that encourages people. I see that in your talk. I see that with how proud you were to create the first gift card that supported the LGBT community and all that stuff. And I saw how proud you were in that. And I see how proud you are in creating the Bernie Sanders posters and how cool that was for you. But here's the thing that I just want to say. And I'm just gonna just do it. At the conference, you were selling work, obviously, and you were working the table like a friggin' champ, and you had tons of stuff. And the reality is, I wanted that logo poster. That's what I wanted. And I told Luke I wanted that logo poster, and I was super jealous that he got it. I'm just running out of space. You see behind me. So what I did buy was this one, right? And you signed this right here, and you signed it Podcast Family. I asked you to sign it Podcast Family. And this will now be one of the most treasured pieces that I have, because when you say family, that actually means something to you.
Man.
And when you say family, that actually means something broader than even what I meant when I asked you to write it, because you truly do bring people into your family and your community. And why the frick am I getting choked up? This is an entertainment podcast.
What? People don't. And it's weird to me, because it's like, you know what? Some dads would say, could you park in the driveway? I need you to park in the street. That's the extent of how they met me.
Yeah.
My dad, he would have grabbed every one of you, hugged you, got you a beer, got you a sandwich, said something about your face. You know, I grew up in this. Yeah, and I grew up in this, like, sharing of, like, joy and the ugly. And we're together. And you can laugh in your life. And you can laugh in your job. And you can shake kids' hands. And you can make fun of Clark. And he can make fun of me or whatever. But in the end, I trust him with my life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever. I mean, we don't even really know that guy that much. You know, I mean, we're just buddies. I'm a fan of his work. You know, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. You know, and vice versa. You know, he tells me, you know, and it's like, you know, family's a weird thing, because just the right amount when I was your age, I got barred. Not barred. We'll just say it was kind of like you held it in.
Yeah.
Why give out your secrets? Because you want to keep them tight. Your clip art or your something, whatever it was, there was very defensive how they, you know, give out stuff. And it just scared me, because it was like, I want to be in the same boardroom with them, or the same conference call, or working alongside those guys. I want to be with people who can share, we can enjoy ourselves, and then when we're done with the day, go talk about our clients, like life, okay?
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay, it's healthy, you know, and whatever. But it's like, you know, I mean, it's just an interesting thing. It's like, you know, it means a lot, man. I don't know. You know, the idea that when we were in that room there, selling with, you know, with Drew and old Bob, you know, there, that work that they make, it's not for their pocket. It goes to help people.
Yeah.
A percentage of what I do, it does. But still, that's why they were there. And I just kept saying to them, man, you know, whatever, you know, go get me a sandwich, whatever we were, you know, saying to each other. Yeah. But it was like, that's a pretty cool room of people, man. It's a pretty cool room of people. And we're lucky, and we're there. And I just don't, I don't know. I'm just proud to try to amplify that.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
There's days, man, I don't want to look at anybody. I don't want to talk. I want to work. Yeah. I have to work. I have to build a presentation. I have to go fill out paperwork for, you know, something stupid, insurance or whatever. And that's just life. But there's, you know, I don't know. My dad always had the capacity in him to make time for me or my buddy or my sisters, you know, and it's you know.
It's treating people like people.
Yeah. I mean, there's a selfish flag that goes up in me way too much where I go, okay, me complain about my job, that's just stupid. You know, this is this is like really, I mean, I'm clean, I got books, I got a raging bald spot, I'm nursing. Everything's good, you know, and it's like,
that's what trucker hats are for.
My buddy Fred Green would always say to me, make sure they don't stand behind you when you're working on the project because they're not looking at your screen.
All right. So, man, we could talk.
It's like Criterion Collection at this point.
We're gonna
sound like Fievel or
Or
something to get it all packed into the 12 minutes you guys were gonna supposed to do.
So here's what I want to do. Like I said, we could talk for hours, and this got just away from us, right? So this was just goods, and I want to, on behalf of us, just thank you for taking time to chat with us. But more than that, I want to say thanks for what you're doing, and we're just excited to see what happens. Tell everybody about the book that's coming out. We've alluded to it multiple times. Give specifics where people can find it, and tell people where they can go to buy things from you and support what you do.
Oh, I've been waiting for this the whole podcast. God, you guys talk so much. I didn't want to say anything, but oh my God. Can I get a word in edgewise here? Okay, you people, this is the only part that matters. Go right now. Get off that speaking spell or that shoulder mount VHS unit you're playing with and go on your iPad or your Dingleberry or whatever you're looking at and go to ddcbook.com right now. And click on the Amazoozle or whatever it is and go buy it for $25. You guys, I made it. I requested that it wasn't going to be a $150 book. It's $40. But if you buy it right now, pre-order, we're about a month out, May 17th.
Yeah.
$25. What'd you pay for a sandwich? You know, whatever. Today, my cab from the Portland airport back to my house was $18. And I gave the guy $25 because he told me this incredible story. He was from Eritrea. And I'm from Michigan, and we're opposite sides of the world. And I just was like, hey, man, here's an extra $5. I like you, whatever it was. I mean, I do well, you know. But the book is about getting away with it. It's called Pretty Much Everything. It's by the Drappin Design Company, Aaron James Drappin, whatever. But I got to make a book. I got a book deal from Abrams in New York City. They're a big publisher. These guys do Star Wars stuff. They do... Oh my God, Sagmeister and Victory and beautiful, monstrous photo books and cookbooks and beautiful, beautiful books. And that was, you know, really what sold it for me was like they do some of the guys that I look up to's books, you know, and I got to shimmy in there and really, you know, I'll be at the very, very bottom of the roster, but still, we have had a vicious pre-order and the numbers just keep going up. And this fall, I'm going to go move some books because they're affordable. So,
you know,
I'm proud of it. I packed it full of everything I could, you know, getting away with it. The stuff I'm proud of that no one would know about, you know, working on, you know, graphic design, you know, with some rules, let's just say, you know.
And you've got crazy stories in there.
There's all kinds of stuff. I call out all my buddies and say thanks. You know, I mean, it's in 4-point type in the back, you know, but
in white underneath the cover. But
are you familiar with Kevin Smith?
Yeah, yeah. I saw that Kevin Smith got small.
It's like your delivery. So if anyone is listening that has not heard like Aaron Draplin, and so I got to see your full presentation. Your delivery is so much like Kevin Smith. Like you are like. You kind of said before, like, you acted like that you're just kind of stream of thought a little bit. Like, I'm not sure how much intentionality is, not in a bad way. But, like, it's killer stuff, and the stories are so captivating. So for anybody listening that just doesn't know you, it's still going to be an amazing book to read.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I tried to contact Kevin Smith about 6 years ago, because about 7-8 years ago, I got to do a logo for John Hughes, who Kevin Smith has got a couple years on me, is a big fan of. Okay, so this is Breakfast Club guy and all that. I mean,
we're familiar with John Hughes.
I know. But sometimes younger kids will just be like, you know, they have like American Pie or something. I don't know. You know, and I mean, it's all funny aside. It's like, I get it, you know. What did my uncles have above me? I don't know, you know, something, whatever they were watching.
Bullet.
you know, escape from which mountain or something. Anyway, whatever, Benji. But you know, there's this.
If you could do a logo for Benji, that'd be pretty legit.
Go look at the type for that. It was a beautiful type, as a Lubao and stuff. Anyway, well, I tried to reach out to this Kevin Smith because, you know what? John told me about Kevin Smith, and I had heard somewhere, maybe in an interview with him, that he tried to reach out to John Hughes to no avail. And I know Kevin Smith's probably just a dude and, you know, a millionaire and writes Clerks and things and stuff and comic books and all the cool he does. But underneath that, he's still a fan, too. He always says that, you know, whatever. Yeah, he seems very humble and very cool. Yeah, but I tried to reach out. I couldn't get to him, you know. But I wanted to tell him the story of John Hughes and just say, hey, man, we talked about you. You know, and, you know, I mean, we talked about you. Because, you know, he didn't reach out to a lot of people. But I did think about him, you know, and his being and his creativity and stuff. And it was like, why did he call me? Well, he liked something. You know, I don't know. We became buds. But, right. I like what Kevin Smith does. You know, I do feel like he, you know, as a man, I know he's smaller now, but I want him to be prouder of being a big boy instead of making fun of himself all the time. I would tell him that if I met him. I'd say, you know what? Who cares? Because you surround yourself with a bunch of Ben Afflecks, what do you expect? nightmare of like blood, sinew, and fart, and he was the lucky one to have some perfect wash. Whatever. Like, I tell Kevin Smith,
who knew that you'd have a soapbox about Ben Affleck
Kevin Smith? I mean, I know you guys get into Batman versus DC versus Robin Hood, or I don't know what you guys are playing with. I don't even care. You know, I don't even Geranimals versus Care Bears. I don't know what you guys are discussing on this garbage, but man, you know, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
But
I feel like this thing derailed in the most beautiful way that you could ever possibly imagine.
But you know what, you guys? I watched on the plane about 2 weeks ago, I watched Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Those guys be like, they're like little kids. And his teeth are still screwed up, you know, Affleck's and stuff. And it's what a great movie, you know? But, you know, they're a couple years ahead of me. Maybe if I'm 42, they're probably 46s and 45s or whatever. But anyway, I appreciate, you know, any kind of reference to him. I like that he does great things for people, but yeah, I always felt like, man, you got to get out of that stupid hockey jersey, man. You know, come on, man.
And get that's yourself thing, in an though. Oregon shirt.
I
man.
Know it's his.
Send him an Oregon shirt, and maybe that's the deal. Is no one ever has sent him any other kind of clothing?
And I doubt that. It becomes his thing. You know, it's his thing. But too much material, man. I mean, come on. I am no pillar of health or beauty or fashion or anything, but I do my best not to beat myself up. You know, because I gotta. Oh man. You guys enjoy your lives, because just when I got to get through the whole week, when Sunday comes, I don't know if you guys respect the Sabbath or not. I don't care. But Sunday, I'll be with Kesar, the wonder personal trainer, and I'll be in there with the chafe. The feet that hurt, trying to get myself small. What is my problem? And you guys will be enjoying your lives playing with, like, oh, you know, look at this, look at this, look at this, you know. Oh, Greedo shoots Chewbacca. I don't know what you guys got, you know, but you guys will be doing that. And then I'm going to be in there with my buddy Kesar, which I thought was a made-up name, but it's not. It's like Shazam or something. But I'll be in there, and he'll be doing one-arm pull-ups and stuff, you know. And I'm in there, and like if on the laundry list of things, like people go in there to tone their abs. Guys go in there to I want to make my wrists smaller. I don't know what they're in there. You know, I'm like at like ZZ. Like he doesn't want to die next week. You know. Okay, I'll take that one. I'll take that one. You know, he'll take on any project. You know, anyway. Okay, we gotta quit, you guys. We'll be on this thing all night.
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. So let's you know,
the guy in the middle. The, make me sound articulate. The guy
I'm
in the end.
Be, I'm
wipe
be
the tears
ever...
off your face.
I'll be the professional, and I'll wrap this all into a bow. You're a pleasure, obviously, to talk with. And anytime you've got a new project, once you've signed your new book or once you've moved into some philanthropic thing, whatever your next thing is, let us know. We'll have you back on. We could chat, I mean, for hours. You're a rad dude.
Anytime
you're around, let us know. If you're back in the San Antonio area or up in the Columbus, Ohio area or out in Chattanooga, you know you've got family you can stay with.
Which one was in San Antonio?
What's what?
Which one? It's you,
it's
Andrew.
The sweatiest city in America.
Sweat? Come on.
Andrew is also the sweatiest guy in America. So really symbiotic.
It like, really works out well.
When I went there, I could feel the drip off of my gonads. Okay? It was all, it accumulates down the girth into one
down the girth.
And I was just like, oh, I'm dripping. It was so hot. And it was like February. Anyway, leaving with that. Gosh. All right, you guys, thank you for your time.
Dude, thank you.
Make it 14 minutes. Good luck.
Yeah, we'll make it. We'll try to make it 14 minutes. Hey, real quick, before you go, can we ask for like two more things from you?
Yeah.
First of all, where do you get your inspiration? So real quick, we always ask our guests if they can help us draw tokens for us. We have these tokens that help us determine what we talk about next week on the podcast. If you would mind sticking around for that, that would be super awesome.
Sure.
Cool. Well, that's it for the interview. Up next, we're going to draw some tokens. Every week we draw tokens to figure out what it is we're talking about next week. And guys, man, it's been an incredible conversation so far. I can't wait to see what he does with these tokens. It's really just picking a number, so it's simple. Just give me a number between 1 and 3. I'm shuffling these up. You're going to be picking for Patrick.
All right. We're going to go with number 3 because my dad used to say, I have 3 kids, 1 of each.
I feel like I would have gotten along swimmingly with your dad. All right, yeah, Patrick, you got art and design.
Me and your dad would have been buds.
All right,
sweet.
Pick between 1 and 2. You'll be picking for me.
Oh, let's just go with 2. For two gonads.
Two sweaty
I got,
gonads.
Toys and games, which means Luke, you got TV and film. Dude, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you, and man, I can't wait to see what happens with the book.
All right, and with that, we will get out of this episode. As always, you can find us everywhere at M of One Podcast, all the different socials, most active on Instagram. You can join our Slack community. Just go to mofone.network, click on the Slack icon, and join. Join, you know, several hundred other creatives that have community in there. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/mofonepodcast. You can support us for $2, $4, or $6 a month. If you support us at those levels, you do get our unedited episodes every week. And starting soon, you'll also get access to our Pondering Potter series. This podcast is available everywhere that you listen to podcasts, clearly because you're listening to it now. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Amazon Music, whatever other places. Please listen, and if you like the show, please leave us a rating and review. It's very helpful for the algorithm to help other people find us as well. And for more episodes from our archive, go to mofone.network, and you can find them all there. But with that, I've been your host, Patrick. See you next week.